Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Oh, how you doing, fuckers? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing great.
Are you hungry?
Not as much as usual.
Good.
But it's a very special day for us here at Guys We Fucked, mostly because this is a sponsor that I've been waiting for personally.
Whole life.
For a very, very long time. Not my whole life because it didn't exist, but God help me if it did. My life would be in shambles by now if it did. But this episode is sponsored by Postmates. Now, you guys know I fucking love Postmates because long before having them as a sponsor was even a
Twinkle in the sky.
Exactly. But even before that, it's a service that I use probably too much, I'm going to say. So much so that I've tweeted about them and they've been like, hey, do you want us to send you stuff for free? And I was like, yes, I 100% do want you to send me stuff for free. My life was going well since I discovered Taco Bell, but sometimes I can't get to a Taco Bell. And this, I know this sounds like ad read, but it's not. But once I got Postmates to be able to bring Taco Bell to me, everything came together.
Honestly, Postmates changed my life as well for that very reason. Not Taco Bell, but like other places.
Yeah, because it's like, you know what? There are other places that will bring you food if they have a delivery service in-house. But what are you going to do if there's a place that you love? And I mean, most times in my case, it's like I'm either in a rush and I need to get other stuff done at home, or I'm just hungover and I need things brought to me. And I am willing to pay a small fee for those things to be brought to me. I mean, basically the direction we're heading in is no one ever leaving the house. And I'm on board in that with that. It's not so much that I don't want to leave the house. It's more that I don't want to have to communicate with others.
Right.
So any way that we can cut that out of the equation.
A plus.
Is great. I really love Postmates because they get me. Like, they literally go out and get things for me.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I want to write a poem about it.
Guys, Postmates, if you don't know what it is, it's just let your fantasies go wild. Like, they can bring you food. If you like realize you have to run to a birthday party and you didn't get a gift, like they can go to regular stores. They can go to like Best Buy for you.
What the fuck? I've been using Postmates for a year. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Not using it fully. Yeah, it's great.
I mean, go to Staples.
They can go. Yeah, Staples is definitely on there. If you are really, this is actually another time I've used it. And it's very, if you're really sick and you need medicine, I've had them bring me medicine. Like you can go through, they have the whole chart, like list of things that they
products.
Have at CVS or Duane Reade, and you can have them. Bring you
shut the fuck up
medicines
that's good for your grandma or for you if you're just sick and you can't move.
Yeah, obviously, like they can't like pick up a prescription for you,
right?
But anything that you can get over the counter, they can bring to you. They can bring you the, you know, like a Gatorade, a box of tissues, and some Mucinex.
Oh,
and I've had
God.
Them do that, and it's really, really great because especially when you live in New York, you don't have a car that you're getting into. So if you have to walk like 15 minutes in the cold and you're already sick and it's like snowing, that's not a good situation. Probably better for you to pay someone a little bit to do it. Yes, I know it's a luxury. So if you're poor, don't use Postmates. Okay, that's not a good way to handle your money. But honestly, for a little bit of luck, like you feel like a fucking princess. It feels like you have that the Amex Black card that I don't even think they make anymore. I don't think they make it anymore.
Well, I'll really never get one of those.
But anyway, anything, anywhere, anytime, whatever it is, Postmates gets it. And if you need another reason to use Postmates, guys, right now, you can get 30 days of free delivery on any order over $20.
Damn.
And it's like, you're going to do that anyway, when you sign up for Postmates Unlimited. So go ahead, download the Postmates app on iOS or Android and get anything, anywhere, anytime.
Damn.
Postmates, they get it. I've never backed something more enthusiastically in my
Postmates
life.
Postmates is the shit.
And while we're on this high, come see us live,
please,
guys. The Bridget Bishop tour is in effect. Tonight and tomorrow, we are going to be at Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know you don't got other plans because you're in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, so come out.
And I don't want to fuck, I don't want to give a fuck you to your town, but also, so please come to see the show. We're excited to be there, but remember, we cannot come back to these towns if you do not come and buy tickets.
So true. And then next weekend, February 8th through the 10th, Corinne and I are going to be in San Diego, California at the American Comedy Club. Very exciting. For tickets to these shows, go to sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours and you can get all the other dates for all the other cities we're going to be at, because the Bridget Bishop tour is just starting. And then February 14th, is the day that you're going to probably be scrounging at a CVS to try and see if they got any good holiday cards left for you, boo. It's also the day that the comedy album, Joseph Vessi and I, who has been a guest on this podcast, comes out on iTunes. It's called Maybe It's You. It's original sketches and songs. A fun fact about this album is that Joseph Vessi writes for Adam Sandler, his movies. He's written for a couple Adam Sandler movies in a row. And, hopefully, I don't think he'll be pissed if I say this, but one of the tracks he actually played for Sandler, and he gave us, this was early on in the process, and he had like one like very small note that he gave us, and the fucking note changed the track. It was so, I'm like, God,
he's not
damn
Adam Sandler for no reason.
I know, right? So, and then I believe, check out my social media. It's Christina Hutch on everything, because we're going to be doing a show in Los Angeles the week of Valentine's Day. So have fun and come see us.
Absolutely. And then if you're in New York, Friday, February 23rd, Nacho Bitches is happening at New York Comedy Club. It's my monthly show that I started with Blair Saki, but she might not be there. Who knows? If not, we have a series of amazing guest hosts, including Rosebud Baker and Justin Perez, who you've both heard on Guys We Fucked.
Yeah.
And you can follow me on social media. Wink,
what's
wink.
What's your handle?
It's Philanthropy Gal. If you don't know that, then you don't need to follow me.
Okay, I guess so.
The show is 11:15 p.m. Tickets are $12 with code Nacho, as always. It's a really, really fun night. And if you want to follow both Christina and I on social media, it's Sorry About Last Night across the board, and it's sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com.
Yeah. And then the next day, Saturday, February 24th, is Glamopus, hosted by Wendy Starling and myself at Zinc Bar. 7:30 p.m. is when the show starts. It sells out, so get your tickets now. You can find them in the description for this very podcast, as well as the music. Any song you hear on Guys We Fucked, if you just look at the description of that episode, at the very bottom, you'll see links. That's where you get it, because I've had a lot of people asking us about, what's that song with that guy? And look in the bottom of the description.
Well, and also there's a whole Spotify playlist dedicated to it.
Steven Maboo. His username, I think, is The Penta on Spotify.
It is.
And okay, and then good to know. And and he has Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming playlist that has all of the songs that we've played. And if you have a band and you have streaming links, you could send them GWF podcast music@gmail.com, because I don't know if you know this, all of the music you hear, especially for the past year, has all been submitted by Guys We Fucked listeners. You guys are so fucking talented. Thank you for letting us use your musical abilities to make our show shine brighter.
Absolutely. And thank you very much to our second sponsor of this episode, Movement Watches. You've heard us talk about them before. We all own Movement Watches. We're part of the, dare I say, movement.
Yes, we are part of the movement, Corinne.
I really like this, not because I need a watch to tell time, because like, that's what my cell phone's for.
Right.
But I do like a watch because it does add to making you think that you're better than other people,
so
which is
true.
A lot of fun. I know people like to walk around and be like, we're all equal and I like to feel like equals. No, no, no.
I wish.
The notion of people being treated equally, thumbs up. But like actually thinking in your head that you're equal to everyone is preposterous. And I wouldn't believe it if you said it to my fucking face. Anyway, I wouldn't. No one wants, most people hate like, or are disgusted by others. That is why things like Postmates are so fucking successful.
Callback.
And so that's my feelings on that. So it's like,
yes. That's why you wear a watch.
I want everyone to have equal rights and be treated rights, well, yes. But do I want to be on the same level as others? Absolutely not.
Hell no, not this girl.
No, thank you. Movement, guys. You know those two college dropouts that started their own watch company? It's crazy how fast this company has grown, which is also kind of just something to light a fire under your ass if you've been wanting to do something and you haven't.
Do it.
On another track that we're going on.
Dare I say move.
Now, with almost 2 million watches sold in 160 plus countries, that's not nothing. They continue to revolutionize fashion in the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. They have even doubled their numbers of watch styles and are now selling high quality sunglasses and women's bracelets. I have their like glass, you know, I got LASIK and then I decided to wear glasses anyway because they're awesome. And I got their glasses and I fucking love them. I wear them all the time and they look really great. And then you don't have to, there's something about Christmas in here, but we're not fucking talk about that.
Yeah.
Fuck it. You thought gift giving was over for Christmas? No, Valentine's Day is coming because everyone's trying to fuck you up the ass. And our friends at Movement have put together the perfect interactive gift guide to make Valentine's shopping painless. Mm. Whether you're shopping for him or her, find everything from watches to fashion-forward bracelets and sunglasses in Movement's limited edition gift box, all curated by Movement's in-house stylists with their trendiest pieces that your special someone will love. So get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to Movement, that's MVMT, very important, MVMT.com/GWF. Go to MVMT.com/GWF. Join the movement.
Hey, titty owners, don't you think it's time you get your titties straight? When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bras in sizes AA through G. And that brand is, of course, Third Love. Third Love uses thousands of real women's measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit great and feel fan-fucking-tastic. While most old-school bra brands only carry 15 sizes, lame, Third Love offers 60 sizes, thank y'all, including half-cup sizes, which no one else does. You might think that, but you're wrong. Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering Guys We Fucked listeners 15% off your first order. To find a bra that you've been waiting for, all you got to do is answer a few simple questions from Third Love's Fit Finder quiz. It takes a minute and you can do it from home. Never have another awkward fitting room experience again. And if you have had an awkward fitting room experience, I'm sorry. Try Third Love bra. It's so comfortable, you might forget you're wearing it. I do say, as a bigger titty owner, I love Third Love's bras because they make me feel like I'm not wearing a body armor suit to get my titty straight. This year, make the change. The change that will change the way you think about bras. Go to Third Love, all spelled out, THIRD.com/GWF now to find your perfect fitting bra. Get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/GWF. Again, if you're allergic to the rewind button, thirdlove.com/GWF. Third Love tits.
I like that you spelled third, but not love.
You better know how to spell love.
As if there's someone.
There's one thing I can spell. It's love.
Is it?
L-O-V-E.
For me, it's cunt.
That's a great word.
It's easy. It's an easy one. Personal stuff. Well, we don't have any because we don't have a time machine. And we're recording this a little bit more in advance because right now we're fucking on the Bridget Bishop tour.
Ooh.
Oh, going
she
crazy.
She was a loudmouth hoe who got killed for it.
Right. I mean, I think she just was like someone who thought differently than the other people of her time.
And got killed for it.
That too. Yeah.
Women's rights.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it goes. And things
tour's
really
probably
changing.
Going real well. And I mean, if anything crazy has happened in recent news as particularly pertains to sexuality or women, we can't comment on it because we don't know about it yet.
There you go.
So don't get too mad. We'll probably tweet about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you worry.
Absolutely.
We'll make vlogs from the road.
Wow, I'm just really going backwards in my email and looking at all the things that I have not responded to.
So many things. Mm. Man, I need an assistant. Boy, oh boy. I need an assistant to be like, hey, brush your teeth, bitch. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's something I never forget. I love brushing my teeth. I do it like 3 times a day.
Whoa, really?
Sometimes more,
I love
honestly.
Flossing.
love brushing my teeth. Okay, so we're going to go right to the mailbag since we don't have a time machine.
And if you do want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
Tell us what's going on.
This subject line is, I hate it when my boyfriend touches me.
Uh-oh.
Please help. You know, and I always like to think in my head, what is this email going to be?
Always.
And it's different than I thought it was going to be, but not that, it's not that different. I don't know.
Stop spoiling it, Corinne.
Sorry. I was really just buying time because I had to burp up this LaCroix. That's what was LaCroix. The problem. No, it's LaCroix. Definitely not. It's definitely like they make fun LaCroix. Of people. No, it's LaCroix.
Oh, you know, sometimes.
I thought you knew that.
Never knew that.
I thought you just
called it LaCroix loud and proud.
I thought you just said LaCroix because it's like more fun, like when people say Target, like it's silly.
Oh, no, I really thought it was LaCroix. Fuck. Now everything's different. How about that bitch who doesn't want her boyfriend to touch her? What's she going on? I want to distract myself from my own problems.
I recently found your podcast a few months ago and fell in love with it. You ladies are helping the world become a better and safer place for women.
I hope.
And I strive to be as outspoken and badass as both of you. Definitely speak up, just not to me on Twitter. So I have a problem and I'm not sure what to make of it. My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years and have 2 children together. I love him very much and want to be with him forever. So cliche, but it's true. But I've been having an issue lately with how much he touches me.
Oh.
To anyone else, this may seem stupid as most people love being touched and caressed by the person they love. Your feelings aren't stupid, first of all. I want to step
in
and say.
You feel them for a reason.
However, the extent of it is ridiculous. He is constantly smacking my ass, groping my ass and boobs, and always pressing up against me and sticking his hands down my pants and up my shirt.
Okay, well, I mean,
I get that he loves my body, but it makes me feel so objectified and angry. What's worse is he does it in front of my 2-year-old, and ooh. I don't think she should see that.
Correct.
I've playfully told him, and there's your problem.
Yep.
He does it a lot, but I'm unsure of how to tell him how I feel. I don't want him to stop touching me, of course, but the constant groping is getting old. I just want your perspective of this situation and what you would do. Emily, you can say my name. Okay, Emily.
Girl, I'd be pissed too.
Yeah. I mean, the occasional ass slap or something is totally fine, but sticking his hands down your pants, especially, like, that's not even hygienic. Like, you don't know where the fuck his fingers have been
gardening.
Yeah, you're gonna get
your dirty ass hands up my vagina.
In your vagina. That's not, I mean, that's just so, to me, it's so interesting to me anytime someone's like, I want to be with this person forever, but I don't know how to tell them this very simple thing that bothers me greatly.
WTF.
So I'm going to tell these 2 strange hookers who have
Thank
a podcast
you.
that I like listening to. I mean, just like kind of just think about that scenario in your head, which is not a scenario for you. It's a real life fucking thing that's happening.
So I actually have a bit about being sexually annoyed. Mm-hmm. Like every woman has been sexually annoyed.
Yes.
And I do like an act out where I'm like humping the air, but I'm like, yeah, my boyfriends are always coming up behind me like, hey, Christina, what are you doing? I'm like, mm-hmm. humping the air. Oh, you making a sandwich? Oh, you're on your phone? Oh. And sometimes like my dresser with all my clothes in it is upstairs.
Right.
And my apartment's 2 levels. Sorry, not to brag, but sometimes I'll be changing in the living room, not the bedroom. And I'm just going through my day and then he'll see me and be like, ooh. And I fucking get so annoyed. He doesn't do it anymore. Cause I feel like I'm being sexualized when I'm like, I'm just trying to get from one shirt to the next, my friend. Can you not?
Right.
And yeah. That's how I say it. Exactly.
I've certainly have had people who are like that. Never really a boyfriend, only because I categorize that behavior under juvenile. And if there's one kind of behavior that I fucking hate in anyone, romantic partner or otherwise, it's juvenile behavior. I hate it.
Mm.
I hate it. It bothers me so much. I don't like it. I've been an adult since I was
even
born.
Slapping your butt.
That's
I slap Steven's ass.
Slapping butt is not juvenile. The behind, like with an erection coming up behind me.
Oh,
that kind of stuff. Or like getting,
like
or like getting, or just like getting horny from like me changing. Like I, even if I'm changing and it's non-sexual changing, I actually try to do it in private regardless.
Sometimes I'll go into my little closet office and close the door when I don't want him to comment.
Because those are like everyday things. And like, I don't want to have to worry about like looking sexy or like, you know, sometimes I check my vagina for toilet paper before I put on pants. Like, you know, like, I do a lot of maintenance, and I just want to be able to exist in a non-sexualized world.
Yes.
So I just do that in private. Changing to me is a private thing. I even like growing up, my mother used to just like full on change in front of my dad, and it seemed very like, it was like so casual.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
The spark.
I just like, no, I just didn't want to do it. I just don't like changing as a casual. I don't like my body being revealed in a casual manner, which is why even the nudity on girls like Lena Dunham, I didn't like it. It didn't bother me because like she was not whatever Hollywood standard. I was just like, I don't need to see your nakedness all the time.
That's why I liked it, because you never see non-sexualized female nudity.
Right.
And I'm like, she's just trying to get from one shirt to the next too.
Right.
Like
yeah.
All the bitches all over the world.
But it's like, that's like giving too much credit to the viewer to me. Cause it's like, of course we're going to still make it out about her body. And like, I just don't.
Well, yeah.
I think there's just too much nudity for no reason all the time. Like I fucking love nudity, but I want it to be like artistic and like cool. Like not even sexy, like just like art, like truly artistic, like a nice, beautiful, like nude portrait. I love that.
Ooh, yeah.
Hang that in my
I want to hang that
corridor.
Mark. Yeah.
I don't have a
but
corridor.
For the person who wrote, the woman who wrote this email, you need to have a talk with your boyfriend without your kids there and say how you feel. And that it is inappropriate to do in front of your child, which I completely agree.
But I think
the hand down the pants thing, like the hugging and kissing and being affectionate.
Oh yeah.
That's fine. The kid probably should see that.
Know just knock that off with them when they're a teenager. No, but it's like I would be careful not to just make it like it's only about your kids, because that's kind of like saying
it's
like,
not. It's about you too.
Like, oh, I'm not interested in you hitting on me because I have a boyfriend. Like there shouldn't be.
Don't like you.
Yeah. There shouldn't be, have to be a qualifier there. It's like, you don't like this behavior because you don't like this behavior. And on top of you not liking this behavior, you also think this behavior is unhealthy for your child to witness. So this is like a double decker issue that we're going with here. And to me, his behavior, if you obviously like aren't into it, it's A, telling me he's not as in tune with your emotions as he should be as your partner.
Yep.
And number two, it's telling me that he seems to have a little bit of ownership over your body.
I was going to say, objectifying you.
He feels like he owns you, your body, for sure, and has access to it 24/7. And as we've talked about many times on this podcast, just because you are in a relationship, even if you're married to someone, even if someone came out of your fucking vagina, that does not mean that you have ownership over their body in any way, shape, or form.
Ever.
I mean, unless like a little baby that you need to, but even then you can't like molest it. So
you can't.
Just a reminder.
Don't every episode we're like, hey, don't molest people.
Well, people seem to really not know.
No, they really don't. Because again, emails 4 days about being molested.
Yeah, so many.
Yeah, but have that conversation. But I agree. That's a good point. Make sure that you are also communicating that it's not okay to you and why that is, because he needs to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. And I know, and I could see in the email, there was this like kind of concern that you have about then him kind of going the opposite direction and not touching you at all. But it's like, if he's a fucking adult and you talk to him in a respectful manner, he should understand that that's not what you mean. And if he just stops touching you altogether, that's juvenile behavior on top of it, because he's like, well, you don't want me to touch you, so then I'm not going to touch you at all.
Ugh,
if he behaves like that, he's a fucking baby.
And send him to time out and never have him never come out.
And then spank him and see how he likes it.
Ooh, he'd probably like it a lot. That's so annoying. Whenever you're ready to try to get back at a guy and do the same thing he's doing to you, and then he likes it, you're like, God damn it.
That's the problem with catcalling. You really can't reverse catcall, because people
please give me compliments.
They love it.
Oh boy. Okay. This email, subject line: help. Do I really need to hug my father-in-law? No, but let's see what you have to say. Hello, my two favorite people. Oh, thanks. I have a dilemma. My husband's aunt lost her battle with cancer, and her service is on Saturday. That being said, I know my father-in-law will be there, and my husband and I don't get along by any means. He is very abusive to my husband, his siblings, and wife. He would randomly show up at our old house and just walk in without knocking. We left the middle of Christmas several years ago because he was being belligerent and aggressive. I could go on and on. He has said nothing but degrading and sexist things to and about me. Mm. I am very protective of my body, since I was raped by my boyfriend at the time and his friends while I was in high school. Again, this whole rape thing is being used as an aside. I'll never shut the fuck up about that. And don't want to be in the same room as him, let alone let him touch me. Is there a polite?
But he didn't assault her.
Correct.
Okay.
He just says sexually degrading things, and she was
raped. Right. Okay.
Is there a polite way to go about this? Thank you kindly. Polite. I don't think you got to worry about being polite. I think you could be respectful and you don't have to be polite and you don't have to hug your fucking father-in-law. God damn. But I would say, I don't know if this person drinks alcohol, if he goes off the rails and becomes like very violent without alcohol in him, or if it's only because there is a safety concern. But I think when you get to the funeral, I don't know, maybe I would run this by your boyfriend because he probably knows his father well, but I'm sure you know him well at this point too. But I wouldn't even go in. I would just, when I don't want to hug somebody, which is very rare.
You're giving hugs out to people who don't want them. People don't want to hug you sometimes.
I know. And I'm like, no, you will.
But you're a hug rapist.
I know. I am.
Consent.
Yeah, you're right. Shit. Well, and that's the end of my hugging.
Sorry. I don't want to tarnish hugging. You love hugging.
No, but if somebody doesn't want to be hugged, you don't hug them. Because then it takes the point of the way of the hug. Why are you even hugging? And then anyway. But when I don't want to hug somebody, I don't even go near them. And mm-hmm. I say hi. And mm-hmm. I say, hey, good to see you. Mm-hmm. And I make it known. And I am very good at not hugging people when I don't want to.
Right.
Because I don't think you have to come out and say, I don't want to hug you because you say horrible things, you know, all the reasons, which are totally legit and make a lot mm-hmm. of sense, which is, of course, why you don't want to do that. I don't think he deserves that explanation, nor is it necessary at all. I think you should just set the standard by not hugging him, by acknowledging him, maybe say hi, whatever the fuck you want to say, from a distance when he's not so close to you that he can go in for the hug.
Wait. Well, it's interesting
and
to
have
me,
your boyfriend maybe play defense for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that
so.
This guy's like hugging if he's such an asshole, or that you even have a history of hugging if you obviously like don't get along.
Well,
it's like a control thing.
It is a control thing, I think. And so on his end.
Right. Oh, for sure.
And don't give him that power because he doesn't deserve it. He hasn't earned it. And he's a disrespectful asshole.
Yes, I agree. And I'm all for making a stance. The only thing that is a little variable of this is that it's a funeral. And you got to be really careful not to make the funeral about you and not to make a scene at a funeral. There was like very few.
That's why I'm like, no explanation.
There's very few places like that I'm against making a stance. This is also because I had a Jewish grandmother. She's since passed away. I really loved her, but she made a huge scene at my grandfather's funeral.
Really?
Because someone that I guess they had like either my grandfather or her had gotten into a verbal altercation with, and they didn't get along, but you know, whatever, my grandfather died and this man who they didn't like came to the funeral to pay his final respects, and he came with good intentions.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, a kid at the time, but I perceptive kid.
Yeah.
So I could tell that. And she like made a big fucking scene about it. So, and then it just like made the whole funeral about her when it was really about my grandfather. And also just
him.
In general, it's like, it's a really sad time. There's going to be people, you know, even if, maybe you know, there's obviously at a funeral, there's people who are like different levels of sadness depending on how close they were to the person. So,
and how they handle grief.
And some people are going to be at this funeral, I'm going to be like really fucking sad. And it's going to be really, really terrible, the worst day of their lives. And there's some people who are going to be there because they're paying respects and that was a person in their life, but like their world isn't going to be torn apart by it. So that's the only thing. Like, yeah, you don't have to hug them and you don't have to ever touch anyone, especially because you have trauma. And I would never want that to be triggered by anything that you do.
Yeah.
But also kind of just like, just stay away from him and kind of like, just, you know, or always like, you know, you can always like have your arm latched through your husband's arm when you're like near him.
Yeah.
Kind of like moves like that. Just be like a little stealth during it but be respectful. It's like, it's not the day to make a stance.
I think. I do think though, after the funeral, if your life works out in such a way that you see him often, more than once a year or twice a year, I do think it's worth telling him.
I would just ignore him for the rest of my life.
That's the difference between me and you.
I'd be like, no, thank you.
I mean, maybe he doesn't deserve to know. I mean, he certainly doesn't deserve to know about the trauma that you've experienced because...
Don't tell him that.
That's not information that he deserves to have. But if you find that you see him a lot, I do think it's worth, you know, post-funeral bringing up, or maybe your husband can communicate it. to him. I don't know. He sounds like an asshole to everybody in his life, this father-in-law person.
Right. I mean, I think it's beyond like communicating that you don't want to hug him. I think it's communicating that you don't like the way he treats you.
Yeah.
And the things that he says to you are inappropriate.
So much so that you do not feel comfortable having any physical contact with him.
I mean, and also like just if he wants to be around you, he has to be a nicer all-around human being to you. Otherwise, you will not be making appearances at family events.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a decision that you make with your husband as well. It's like, I don't seem really, I mean, I, it's, you know, the relationship between kids and their parents is deep, and I can never be like, you can't, obviously your husband's probably gonna want to see his dad, but you don't need to
go. But sometimes you don't realize that your parent could be a little emotionally abusive and it's hard to stand up for yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's not her fault.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, that's why, like, you don't got to marry into.
Sorry, projecting.
Yeah, that's not. It's nice if your spouse or significant other deals with it, but they don't have. It's not required.
It's true.
And that, because that's the downfall of a lot of relationships also.
Yeah, I am very lucky that my not-in-laws, but boyfriend's parents are just angels.
Yeah.
Just fucking angels.
And I'm lucky that mine live in Ohio and Phoenix. So.
Hey, yo.
No, they're on it. Well. His mom's nice. that's all we have for today.
I hope the world has not blown up or we are in disarray. But if we are, it's going to be fine, guys.
Right.
We've survived a lot.
Yeah.
And we can survive this week.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Follow us on social media. Rate the podcast. I was throwing in some selfish things in there.
Oh, I didn't know if you had anything else that you need to go into.
No.
Guys, other than that, we are very excited to bring on this week's guest. She's a wonderful comedian. She's a writer. She is on the current season of Laugh Tracks on True TV.
Ooh, I love True.
And she is from my hometown of Union, New Jersey. Please give a warm welcome to Joyelle Johnson.
You're so cool. Where'd you get those new shoes? What devil are you going to for this looks? Oh my god, I've been wasting my time on these books like a drive at the back of your throat. A nuke exploded, but everyone pretends that they haven't noticed. Money runs out, but not when you need a drink. You need that more than wherever they spent your whole life playing.
Yeah, you can adjust it. You can sit back. You can sit up. You can,
whatever you want to do. You can get on the floor if you want.
Hey,
I love sitting on the floor. I like your shirt.
Thank you.
It has a uterus on it.
A gigantic gold uterus.
That's amazing.
I'm a big fan of the uterus.
Yes, we see. There's a lot. You have a lot of great shirts about female body parts.
Yes,
yeah, it's nice.
I like to make men uncomfortable as I walk down the street.
You do?
Do you feel their discomfort?
Well, it depends. If I have just the uterus, they're like, are you a Taurus or a Texas fan? And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
No, like, men do not know what this is.
Because it does look like the Longhorn logo.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, Longhorns, I didn't know what it was. But men do not know what a uterus looks like. So,
see, that's so funny that you like to make men feel uncomfortable, because I also like that. And I was like, was there something in the water in Union? Because we're both from the same town, but we did not know each other in that town. We met each other in New York City.
Yes.
And then found out that your cousin Asia is one of my best friends in the entire world.
Yes.
Like, Christine and I have stayed at her house when we're in LA. Yeah.
Oh,
She's awesome. She's the sweetest.
Is she not the sweetest person?
She is the sweetest. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
She's been like that since she was a baby. She was the sweetest baby and just is still the sweetest adult. It's like, it's one of those things like if somebody hurts her, you want to murder them because you're
right.
Just like,
She's so pure.
She's so sweet.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So you.
I feel like I remember you from high school though, from because we were in. Plays together, right? No,
we must have been, but
which
like
plays were you in?
We remember there was a car ride when we were going to a gig together, and like that's how we really met as comedians.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was like a re-meeting, but that's like my first real thing, and then figuring out that Asia was your cousin.
Yeah, were you at Greece?
No.
Okay. Because that was my senior year was Greece.
Yeah, so I think I just missed you then.
Ah, wow.
Because I was like, I was like, I know I didn't. I don't have any real recollection unless I blacked out during high school. Which I wasn't drinking yet, so I did not.
Oh, right. Neither was I. I was lame in high school.
So growing up in Union, what was your first experience with sex? I'm very interested to know what it was popping in Union High School at that time.
I am quite prudish, I think, in general. Yes. I think I got that from my mother. And my first kiss was 10th grade.
Mine too.
Okay.
Made out in the woods.
Oh, I made out in the little quad area. Do you remember when we'd like go across that parking lot area?
Yeah.
That was where my first kiss was.
Oh my goodness.
To a boy. I think he was younger than me.
Ooh.
He actually, what class were you? What year did you graduate?
2003.
Okay. So you were a freshman when I was a senior then, I think. Anyway, I think he was maybe like a sophomore when I was a freshman.
Now, was it someone you were like dating or how did you know that person?
It was just a boy I liked, I remember. And then my friends were like, well, you need to kiss him. And I was like,
sent you out on a mission.
They really did. We did the whole thing. Like they gave me like a breath mint and some lip gloss. It was like this whole coaching. And then I kissed him and it was actually a pretty good kiss. He was good at kissing.
Oh, your first kiss was good?
Yeah, it was good. I don't remember his name.
Really?
Doesn't matter. Did you guys do anything else physical after?
No, I don't even think we dated. I don't even know what happened after
that. You just kissed him and then you walked away. Like,
mission accomplished.
We did it. I kissed a boy.
Did you have any sex talk?
With that guy?
Or no, with your
mom,
at all.
Prudish mom.
Well, so my mother was a labor and delivery nurse my whole life. So she would bring home like gigantic billboards with STD, like information and stuff on it. So it'd be like—
For you specifically?
No, just stuff like she just had at the hospital that she'd bring home. And I just recall this one giant fold out that had all the STDs and pictures of them on it. So it's like, this is chlamydia. This is gonorrhea. And it would be like in our living room. And I'm just like, Ma, could you do something with that? Right. Could you take that back to work or something? Like, why is this here? So I feel like we had to have talked about sex, but that's more like, you don't want to get AIDS, basically.
Don't get AIDS.
was the moral
go
of the
near
story.
A dick. Oh my
so
gosh.
So my first boyfriend was in the marching band.
What instrument?
He was drums.
Nice.
Cool. Drummers were always the hotties.
Him and his Tim
best case
twin
scenario.
Brother. They were twins.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Shit. Did you ever get them mixed up?
No, because his brother was a dick.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. And so, but we didn't have sex. I didn't have sex till the next boyfriend.
Why didn't you have sex with that?
I think I was too scared. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get pregnant immediately. And then I'm going to get all those diseases.
Yeah, your mom's tactic.
Exactly.
I feel like she probably took that poster home to be like, and then you're like, Mom, why is that here? Oh, I don't know.
It's just
look at it,
completely
though.
Folded
Take
to
a look
open
at your future, maybe.
So that you can't not stare at a diseased vagina.
I don't know. High school wasn't like a very like horny time for me. Like I didn't have sex with any boyfriends I had in high school either. Like I was just not
in.
Like,
I was getting fingered. Girl.
Well, fingered, yes, but not having
fucking
sex.
Too.
I was like, no, thank you.
So here's what I would do. And it's so funny. My mom's probably not going to listen to this, but she worked nights and I was the girl who, like, my friends would come to my house.
Right, because your mom wasn't
Because my mom wasn't home. So they'd come and, like, fuck in the basement.
No way. You were that friend.
Yes. And then
clutch friend.
And then the guy that's, like, the wingman would be upstairs with me, like, this bitch won't even let me finger her. What? And And meanwhile,
at least I want to put a finger.
Yeah, their boy's getting the full treatment downstairs.
Wow. Then, was your basement finished or unfinished?
It was half finished. So it was some raunchy shit. There was like a mattress on the floor. So it was just, it was, my friend.
And your mom never knew?
No, she won't. Because I was a good kid. I was like I was in marching band.
And you were just upstairs being a good friend. I was. Not getting fingered.
I was not getting. We were like watching TV. It was so hilarious. Just like the two of us just like watching TV on the couch. And you'd occasionally just hear from the basement.
Oh my God. That's really nice of you. Yeah.
Oh, I was a great friend for them.
Because they're either going to do it there or like outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then one of those girls ended up getting pregnant.
Oh, Troyel.
Oh, I love this. You guys are bringing it all back. I've never thought about all of this.
So wait, how old was she when she got pregnant?
She got pregnant in your basement?
I don't think she got pregnant in my basement.
That might be the title of your episode.
She might have been like 18 or 19.
Okay.
So she was still, senior year. So. Uh-huh. Her mother used to always call her Fast. That's what black people will call a slut. Fast.
Oh.
That's a fast little girl. She was fast.
Well, her mom was saying that. I mean, didn't her mom have any control over her behavior or no?
I don't 18. Even remember.
But she was still in high school under her roof. Yeah.
Yeah. And she lived in a different town.
Okay.
They lived in Cranford.
That's a way nicer term, honestly, than slut.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what black fast. People call.
That's way nicer and kinder.
That's a fast little girl. That means she... She's a whore. I will say that about a 12-year-old. I'm like, she gonna be fast.
Wait, is that how they got fast times at Ridgemont High?
I don't think so.
Slutty times at Ridgemont High. Have I been watching that movie wrong?
Right.
I mean, there was sluttiness going on at Ridgemont High, but there was also like drugs and other things. I don't really recall the movie, honestly.
I don't think I ever saw that. Was that Sean Penn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, so you were like, you were the home for the fast people.
I was the home for the fast girls.
The nightly, spot.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
I was a sweetheart.
So not even a finger?
I don't remember.
Or did you blow anybody?
I definitely didn't blow anybody.
Do you remember the first time you blew a guy?
Scared. I feel like I blew the boyfriend I ended up having sex with.
Oh, okay. And where'd you meet him?
I met him working at Target. That was my first job.
That's a good first job.
What are we allowed to say and not say?
Anything you want.
What about names? Can we get sued if we say people's
names? It's your discretion.
I'm not gonna say people's names.
I mean, I wouldn't give whole names, but you can give first names.
I mean, whole names have been given before.
Social security number.
Usually my rule of thumb is if it's a person in the entertainment industry, you can give a full name, like if it's a fellow comedian. But if it's someone who has chosen a private life, we only do first names. That's just what I use.
Okay. Well, I will just describe these people. This boyfriend, after we met at Target, and he was a white boy. He was my first white boyfriend. And he was ugly as fuck.
Oh, but what do you like about
him? But he had some good qualities.
I like that he liked me.
Oh, was he nice to you?
Until I had to get the restraining order.
Whoa. He was nice to you until you got the restraining order.
And now we need details.
The plot thickens. So
he was ugly inside and out.
He was ugly inside and out. His mother was a bitch, too. I'm not good with mothers.
Neither am I.
Neither is she.
My mothers.
I crush it.
I've only met three of my boyfriend's mothers, and they all fucking hated me.
What? I don't think you'd be great with moms, actually.
You'd think, because I'm a
You're
cool person.
You're so outgoing,
person,
and yeah.
But I feel like it was more so because all of the two, especially of the other boyfriends were single mothers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's something about when you're like when you're taking their baby away. That
it's like they don't want to fuck their kids, but they kind of do.
They kind of just want them to just stand there with puppy dog eyes. So the white guy, his mother was a bitch. And
what was the first time you met her? What was that like? Do you remember?
I don't even remember.
Or she said anything specific to you that you were like, wait, what?
She probably didn't talk to me. Like she just treated me like I wasn't in the house.
Was it because she didn't like you? Do you think it was because you're black?
And you never know. And that's the thing. And
white
I know,
people keeping it a mystery.
Exactly. Because it's like, as women, you know the thing when somebody does something fucked up, you're like, Is it because of a woman?
Yeah. Sure.
So as a black woman, I have to do, is it because I'm black?
Two of them.
Is it because I'm a woman? Right. Or is it because you're just a dick? Like, I don't know which one it is.
Yeah.
So my mind is always doing that. So, I mean.
Did your boyfriend at the time have any insight? Did he warn you that she was a bitch?
Nope. Of course not. Like, what? They don't fucking, they're dumb.
And also, he probably didn't think she was a bitch.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He loved her, I guess. but I don't remember. I just remember her just being a cold, just evil. She was never nice to me. And so he was the first guy I danced for.
Oh my God, I remember.
For an anniversary. Super awkward.
Oh, like a stripper inspired.
Sexy, yeah.
Where were you? In your dorm?
In his apartment.
His apartment?
Yeah.
Was it uncomfortable? Was it fun?
No, that's not fun for me.
Yeah,
Every
time I've ever done it, it's been awkward.
It's so, like Janelle James has a joke about how a dude recently sang to her and she's like, what are you supposed to do with your face? Like,
because you can't laugh. Because then
you can't laugh.
I'll never fuck you if you laugh at him.
And I'm sitting here like, I'm dancing and I want to laugh. Like, I'm just super awkward. So, I mean,
did he ask you to dance for him or did you just do it because he thought of the
idea? I think he asked for it.
Okay.
I don't think I did that of my own volition.
And you totally naked? I usually dance with just, bra and underwear on.
I think I just stripped down to bra and underwear. Then we just...
I've never stripped in front of a guy.
I have never danced for anyone.
Don't do it.
It's not that great.
I've done sexy outfits and that. I mean, you just make an entrance and then the clothes come off. I don't need to be dancing. No. I like grinded on people.
There's no need to dance. There really is no need to dance.
Try to leave that for the strippers. They're professionals.
Right. Yeah. And they're really good at it. Whenever my boyfriend and I go to a strip club, I always come back and he's always says that you move differently after we've seen, because I'm like, because I just watch these professional hotties crush it on the dance floor.
I love going to a good female strip club.
Me too.
Female strip club.
Yeah.
Don't nobody want to see dudes.
I know. For real.
So terrible.
The restraining order. Let's.
Right. So we were dating for like a year and a half, and then I went to college.
Okay.
I went to Boston College and he was still in Jersey. He's a bit of a loser. Like, he didn't really have much going on. And I'm starting to like come into my own and I'm in college. And so I started to like, distance. We started to have distance. So he started kind of just like being emotionally abusive, just being like, you can't break up with me. No one else is going to love you. That type of stuff.
Oh, now when the first time he said something like that to you, did it ring as like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Like, because so many people, they just kind of internalize it and they don't even realize that it's wrong when it leaves their mouth.
Yeah, I'm the type of person, for some reason, I never have been the person to let guys talk to me any type of way.
Great.
I don't even have that much confidence, but I'll be like, you ain't talking to me. You ugly. Yeah. I'm cute. Like, what are we doing right now? No one's ever going to love me. You lucky I love you.
Yeah.
So, like, what are we talking about? So when the verbal abuse started, I was just like, all right, he's just being a fucking idiot. Then he went to one of my uncle's houses in Union.
What?
Like, he stopped by my uncle's house, knocked on the door to talk to him.
Oh my God.
Because I was breaking up with him. Like,
what is your uncle going to do?
Why your uncle? And why that uncle?
So this uncle is my favorite relative. He's one of those people you sit next to at like a funeral that will have you cracking up.
Yeah.
Roasting the room. Like, he's just one of those guys. So he knew him as being my favorite relative and he met him. He's the type of person.
So if I win this uncle over, maybe Joyelle went on me.
Exactly. And he's also the type of person, if we bring a stranger to a family gathering, the stranger will sit next to them, to him, because he always makes somebody feel comfortable. Yeah.
Got it.
So he went to him to just like complain about it. My uncle's like, he was in his bathrobe. He answers the door like, what?
The uncle was.
Yeah. The uncle.
I was like, what a fucking idiot.
No. And he's like a grown man crying to this black man. And my uncle was like, called me up like, you might want to get this dude. It just kind of, it only fell apart just because we were long distance.
Right. Yeah.
And then, I broke up with him and he was doing the emotional abuse, threatening me and all that stuff. And then he's like,
damn,
I'm going to come to the school and I'm going to kill you and the boyfriend, the boy that you're with. Now, this boy that he was talking about was a football player that I had a crush on. I was so mortified at the thought of this idiot driving to Boston and knocking on this football player's door. I was more mortified by that than the thought of him killing me.
Right. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I was so embarrassed.
Don't ruin it for my crush.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, this motherfucker doesn't even know who I am. Like, can you imagine somebody knocking on the door?
How did he know you had a crush
on him? I'm killing you. I don't even remember. I think I might have just mentioned.
Like one time in passing and like stuck with him because he's a psycho.
Exactly. Because he would come visit me at school. So it must have just been like me just being like, God. Oh, that's the guy everybody likes. It must have been something like
right,
that.
Right.
And so he was like, I'm going to kill him and then I'm going to kill you. I got the restraining order.
Perfect. Yahtzee.
I got the restraining order because I didn't want him to come.
Because you were embarrassed.
I didn't want him to come to the dude. I knew he wasn't going to kill him. He was going to get his ass kicked by a bunch of football players.
Well, you never know if someone's going to get like a weapon or something. Because even a football player can't stop a bullet with their hand.
Yeah, but I was still just way more embarrassed.
Oh my gosh.
It was so funny when we go to the court because the school handled it really well. Like my school did not fuck around with that.
Oh, that's great to hear.
They did.
Because some colleges questionable.
No, BC handled it very well. They gave me an escort, a male security guard escort who took me to the court.
I'm like, ooh, they gave you. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, he drove me to the court and he was standing there with me the whole time. And the judge was a female.
Yes. Score.
So this idiot comes from New Jersey. He's dressed. He puts on a suit. He's white trash. I'm sorry, guys.
No. I grew up with it. It's okay.
His suit was like just a shitty mobster suit. So a shitty mobster suit.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
He had
man.
No tie on, so like it was open, and he just
this sounds like our town.
Oh, completely. He was from Elizabeth.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Oh, so he just looks like just trash. Try to dress up, and he goes into this diatribe about how I'm the crazy one and how about like he needed to get a restraining order for me. And the judge And so the judge is just sitting there like bored. He's going on and on and on. She's sitting there like this and he's going on and on and on. And then he spoke for maybe like 8 to 10 minutes. He did a set. And the judge, she was like, okay. And then she looks at me and she's like, do you have anything to say? I was like, I opened my mouth and I was like, you know what? No, I don't. And she goes, all right, restraining order granted.
Yeah. Bam. Because you knew, you looked at her and you both knew.
Yeah, we were like,
this fucker's,
like,
you're getting it.
You could tell he was crazy. Like, he's just poetic. Like,
what was his reaction? What was his.
Did he go off?
No, I mean, I think he cried. He looked like he was internally crying. I was like, he cried in the car. He definitely cried on the way home.
And then did he text you after and violate his restraining order and then he went to jail?
No. Did he ever contact me after that? I don't think, but he ended up dating a girl from our high school.
Did you warn her?
No.
What if he only dated exclusively black women from Union?
It was so weird.
Oh, God.
We were in the same class.
Oh, my goodness. What's he doing now? Have you ever
looked him up on Facebook or anything?
I never cared to.
I would have gotten high and looked him up just
for curiosity. There's no way he's doing anything good.
Oh, my God.
True.
That's like the fact that you didn't look him up on Facebook speaks volumes. Like, you truly do not care about
this person anymore. I did not care at all. Yeah. I was more embarrassed. He was gonna.
What were the rules of the restraining order? Like, he couldn't come within.
He couldn't call me. He couldn't come within, I don't know, whatever the footage was.
Some amount of feet.
500 to 1,000 feet or whatever. He couldn't come to our campus, so he was not allowed.
Nice. And then he would get arrested if he did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. And so beyond, like, you got the restraining order fully through BC because people do write us about restraining orders and stuff. And, like, we're always like, get a restraining order, but we don't actually know how to go through the steps of acquiring one.
No, we went to an actual, I think it was the city of Boston.
So your college helped you. Yeah. Because this was like, because if it happened only on the campus and they could only
have college
rules,
court?
I don't know. I just made that up.
She did make that
but
up.
No, but sometimes with rape, like with a sexual assault cases, sometimes they handle internally and they don't take it to
sometimes
like a federal
they handle
state court.
It.
Right, exactly. That's some grade A bullshit is what that is.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so this was like all official and shit.
So they just assisted you and like you filled out paperwork and
filled out paperwork.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, good on them.
So not
DC.
Too hard because I kind of want to like really encourage people like if you need to.
It's not hard.
Get a restraining order or, you know, do it.
It's not hard.
Yeah.
I mean, will they listen? Who knows?
The restraining. Exactly.
And your college listened and helped you.
They helped me. And the city of Boston was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
so it was a real restraining order.
So not a really great way to start your dating life, though.
No, I haven't had
your sexual career.
Yeah.
Was a sex goo with him? I feel like it wasn't, but maybe that's just because I hate him.
It was good. It was good, I guess. I had nothing to compare it to at the time.
Like, because when my first boyfriend that I had sex with, I did blow him. But we didn't do anything else other than have sex, because we didn't have sex a ton of time, like a bunch. But we didn't do anything like adventurous. I feel like your first relationship career and your boyfriend after in college.
Yeah.
We were with him for 5 years, but you explored.
Well, and also because he was like 8 years older than me.
True.
And just, I mean, I just like kind of just hit the jackpot that I found someone who was really in tune with their bodies, really open, good at sex. I mean, I'm just very lucky with my first boyfriend.
He'll got a brag.
Yeah.
Of course. We get it.
It's okay. I mean, he really liked wrestling, if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, WWF?
I like WWE.
But like underground wrestling too. Like I was at wrestling shows like every weekend.
Honestly, those are kind of fun.
They were fun.
Funny.
It was, but it wasn't like, you know, like a sexy
wrestling
going around in his convertible or anything. Like we were driving around in a van with wrestling merchandise.
That's funny.
So
who'd you date after that guy? Did you hop back in or did you wait for a little bit?
It was the next year.
Okay.
I met my college boyfriend, who was my boyfriend for most of college.
Okay.
Yeah. He was great. We had a great
Were you sexually adventurous with him?
I'm not sexually adventurous.
See, it's so interesting. It's so interesting to me that you just, you just don't like sex or?
First of all, I'm shallow. My uterus is very close.
Oh, I even like as a person.
Me too.
No.
And I was like, really? I don't think so.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Okay, very sweet.
Their faces changed, guys. That was really sweet. I'm going to live on that for a while.
Wait, your cervix is shallow?
Yeah.
How'd you learn that?
Gyno. Like, you know, when they test you, like, this chick was like, she fingered me and she was just like, she was like, do you have pain during sex? And I was like, yeah. She was like, oh, yeah, this...
How shallow is shallow? Go all the way in?
It hurts. Guys,
it hurts every time you have sex?
Unless it's not a huge dick.
Damn.
Yeah.
So well, there's a market for
like,
that.
There's a huge market for that.
Well,
I don't
small,
like big
huge
dicks.
Yeah.
I don't like big dicks.
Well, because I mean,
that's perfect, actually, because there are a lot of guys that'll write us and be like, and my instinct is like, honestly, I'm sure there are a lot of women who cannot have a big dick. I mean, what's the biggest dick that you have encountered that didn't hurt?
I would say 7.5. It seems.
That's big.
That's the biggest.
I mean, I think this might be a racial difference.
Oh, maybe.
Because I was like, we're white. And we're like, that's
7.5.
That's the biggest.
That's on the high end.
Biggest white penis.
Oh my gosh. And it was a white penis.
Oh yeah.
What?
Well, okay, so
where were they?
But do you know in inches how shallow you are? Because I think the average is about like 5 inches, apparently, which is funny because like if you like big dicks, it's like more than 5 is just wasteful.
Right,
really?
That's true.
Yeah,
I like a thick dick.
Your
me a
face,
thick dick.
Thick.
Yeah. I like regular width.
I like a regular width. So here's a funny. I recently had sex with a guy. His dick was so big that I had to close my legs together, and he was kind of fucking me through, like mostly my bone. Like
right.
It was mostly my thigh bones that he was.
So the thigh was giving the friction. That was very innovative of
you. But also,
you
can rub your clit. That can rub your clit and the clit, and then that's great.
Yeah, I just wasn't having fun.
Oh, okay.
It's not fun for me.
The big dick isn't fun for you?
Ugh, I just take it somewhere else.
Have you ever had... So wait, what is your favorite... Is your favorite sexual act then because of the shallowness, not regular intercourse?
It's massive.
I like regular intercourse when the dick is appropriately, like when it fits with me. And the guy fits with me. So I'm super emotional. That's another reason why I can't just... have so many have
casual
sex
just isn't for you.
Ugh, I wish I could. I can't.
Yeah. What?
I can't.
What?
Nothing.
That was funny.
It was inside.
So after that, I had the boyfriend in college. Sex was great with him. It was great.
You ever had to deny a penis entry after the clothes have come off?
Oh yes. It was a guy in college. He notoriously had a big dick. his dick was so big that like girls would talk about it kind of like as like a circus attraction.
Right.
So I hooked up with him and I gave him a two-handed blowjob.
Whoa.
Where I was like grabbing the dick. What? You guys can't see
it's
what
like
I'm
trying
doing.
To climb up a cliff.
Yes, it's like you're trying like a rope. I'm just and I just that's all I could do because it was literally it had to be 13 inches 13? At least.
Where do you find your men?
13 inches.
It was.
I didn't even know that was possible.
I mean, it was bigger than both of my hands. It was like
at least a foot.
Yeah, it was a foot.
What about the thickness?
It was thick. It was huge. It was like, how do you have sex with any person that's not a porn star?
Your face, Corinne. That would scare me.
I'm horrified.
Yeah. And he was just known to have this gigantic dick. And I was like,
did you tell him, hey, you can't put it in me?
Probably. I was like, that's not going to me. Then he was like, can you give me a hand job? I was like, sure.
I'll try.
Yeah. And then I did the two-handed hand job.
See, that's a real catch-22 because he must be like very respected by men. But then also
he can't fuck a lot of ladies.
You can't have a satisfying sexual relationship with a woman.
And he'll never do anal. I mean, maybe a little, but
at the thought of it. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no. I did not fuck him. At all.
Damn.
I just looked at it.
I don't think I've ever seen a dick that big. Have you, Corinne?
Not in real life. That's 13. For sure.
I don't even know. I think if I saw it on the screen, I'd run away.
The screen? I'm very particular about porn, so I wouldn't have liked that. I would have turned it right off.
Yeah. Giant dicks. I'm like, ah!
Giant gifts or like anyone who seems even remotely creepy, I can't be involved with. On porn.
Oh, on porn. Because I'm like, sometimes if they're kind of creepy, but in a respectful way, it's kind of hot. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I bet you're good.
That's
in bed.
Why I kind of go to just like the tattooed, like suicide-y girl ones, because those people rarely freak me out.
The suicide-y girls.
The tattooed
suicidegirls.com. It's basically like a bunch of people who look like they should be on stage with Marilyn Manson, and they have a lot of tattoos, and they're really, really pale, and they look malnourished, and they have black hair. Sad. That's what I like.
All right.
It's like masturbating in the mirror.
Another thing about big dicks.
I wish I looked malnourished.
I wish I was this skinny. The problem with a big dick, they can't keep it hard.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Those dicks can't.
What is it?
Too much blood.
Too much blood.
Oh.
It's too much blood.
I never even thought of that.
Yeah. That's because that's why it gets hard in the first place, all the blood. And then.
Pass the fuck out.
I was going to say, do they pass out if they have a big dick and they got to go get hard? Oh my God, that's so sad.
They'll be all right.
They'll be fine. Damn.
All right.
So do you masturbate?
Yes. And I did it until after college. It was like after college. College was when I started drinking, started smoking, was told about masturbation because I came into college just holier than thou, prude, like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I'm a good person. And
were you religious?
I used to do that too.
No, not at all.
I used to parade the fact that I didn't drink or smoke weed, well, mostly smoking weed around. And then I got to college and I was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't until maybe junior or senior year that I started both of them. All of those
of college. Oh yeah.
And so wait, who told you about masturbating?
One of my best friends. Shout out to Morgan. She, we were just randomly having a conversation one day. We started talking about masturbation. I don't know how, but she was just like, yeah. So, you know, when you masturbate, I was like, I don't masturbate. She was like stop the press, record scratch. She was like, what? You need to masturbate. And it was so cute because you could tell she was like, I don't know how to tell you
this.
She was like, I can't express this to you enough, but you need to masturbate. And that stuck with me. And I didn't start till maybe a year after that. But I was like,
what got you to do it? Yeah.
I don't remember. I feel like because I don't have sex a lot. So I was like, I need to start figuring out how to pleasure myself.
Yeah.
And it works.
Do you use toys or your hand or?
I like the bullet.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
A little just that's a good one. Rudimentary.
That's a great
vibrator.
Yeah,
I like the fundamentals.
I know sometimes they do try to get like very, very
too fancy.
Yeah, it's too much.
You don't need it.
You don't need a lot.
There's a vibrator that will like go to the beat of whatever music you're playing.
Oh,
whoa!
I actually want to try. It's a very expensive that. Vibrator, but I was like, I want one of those. But
damn,
all the
too.
Rabbits and the. Yeah, the double jaws,
arms and legs on them.
Because like I don't penetrate with a vibrator. So
me either.
I'm just clit,
yeah,
finger tap. Yeah. We're good.
Yeah.
That I'm quick. If I watch some porn, I'm just quick.
Oh my God. I know that's I try not to always have to consume porn, but it is so much faster.
It's so much.
It saves you a lot of time.
No, because my thoughts are terrible. I'm like, yeah. Then I'm like, oh, I got to finish that pilot.
That's exactly why. When it's your own thoughts and they're not guided or narrowed down by a visual, you could go anywhere.
Oh, I go all over the place. It'll take me an hour.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific type of porn that you like, or do you mix it up?
I am one of those people, and I don't know if this is a Virgo characteristic, but it's like when we like something, we just like one thing, and I'm pretty boring. So I like, what do I like? I like gangbangs.
Love them.
I say I'm boring.
I know. I was like, well, that doesn't seem so important.
I like to watch all the stuff I wouldn't do.
Okay.
Well, that, yeah. Makes sense.
I like gangbangs. I like the henta, the cartoons.
Oh, yeah, the cartoon.
Which kind of cartoons? Like ones so that sweet. Exist already, but now they're sexual, like Family Guy?
No, like the Japanese.
Oh, like the anime shit?
Yes.
Honestly, it's kind of hot. Because I always see the ads pop up.
It's so weird. And I'm like, weird.
Damn, her tits are perfect. Oh, because they're cartoons.
Because some fucking creep drew them. it's so weird. What else? I don't like watching black women.
Why?
Well, yeah. What do you think that is? That's fascinating.
I don't know why.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
See, because
maybe it takes you out of it.
I don't like I only like people who look like me. Sometimes I can do a redhead. I do not. I can't watch blondes.
Sometimes I'll do a redhead.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Whoa.
So you only want to watch people that look like you. I refuse to watch people that look like
you. Yeah, because cartoons and shit. Gangbangs. Yeah.
So it's like I'll watch a black dude fuck a white girl.
Okay.
But I don't like watching black women.
Do you think it's because have you ever talked to a therapist about this? I'm fascinated.
I haven't.
Like, do you love yourself?
I have grown to love myself.
Huh. But maybe it goes along with like you feeling like you're not being super sexual and feeling prudish. And so like you like to watch things that you wouldn't do. So if you were in the, like if you envisioned yourself in the role, there has to be something to that.
Yeah.
I'm not big into reading into things or making things more than they are as far as like therapy, but that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, well, with me, I feel like sometimes with me though, I have to watch the chick has to be like so fucking hot.
They have to be.
And if they're
hot.
Not, I'm like, nope.
They have to be.
And
hot.
That's fucked up. I feel like there's something fucked up about that though.
No, I'm watching for sex. Yeah. I don't want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's an aesthetic thing.
It's aesthetic.
Porn websites will give you literally whatever the fuck you want to watch. You can type it in and there you go.
Yes.
But damn, don't you wish you lived in a world where you could successfully arrange a gangbang now?
Right.
And have it be great.
Got called James
I've heard Dean. Of that happening.
No, do you find, he's okay, not, I'm good. Still obsessed with, do you have, do you find, yeah. like, are you, like, who's your favorite aesthetically, like, female celebrity? Who's, like, your girl crush celebrity?
Priyanka Chopra.
She's so hot.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, I think she's the most beautiful
woman
in the world.
So a woman of color, but not a black woman.
I think she's the most beautiful woman in the world. There's plenty of black women I think are beautiful.
But okay, so you're not like you find black women attractive.
I love being black. I love
black that's women. Good to hear.
I don't know. Maybe it's a degrading thing. Maybe I just feel like porn's degrading.
Oh,
and I don't want
okay.
to see a black woman be degraded.
Okay. Okay.
We're spitballing here.
I like that.
We're getting some therapy going.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Vagia fascinating.
Vagia fascinating?
Oh, no. I just said fascinating.
It like but that's vagia fascinating.
I like that,
vagia
though.
Fascinating, Joy.
I like that. Well, speaking of vagia, you do a lot of work with Lady Parts Justice.
Yes, I do.
When
did
you start working with them?
From the inception of it, when it was just an idea in Elizabeth.
Oh, so you've been there from the first day.
Yeah. She... who was it? I think it was Peggy O'Leary.
Peggy
asked me to do a show. She was like, do you want to do this show where we're raising money for this new organization? And I was like, sure. We did it at the Creek. And then afterwards, Liz like got us all together. And she's like, I have this idea for this organization. And, you know, we're going to come to my house and just start writing sketches and stuff like that. And so we'd go to her house on Sundays and she'd make dinner. And
aww.
We'd just try to brainstorm stuff. And now it's a full-blown organization.
Yeah, you guys worked your ass off because this organization's really, their website is so fucking informative. It's such a great tool.
Yeah. It's ladypartsjustice.com?
Yeah.
Or .com. Okay.
Did she explain it to you initially as like, we're going to use comedy to spread awareness?
Yes.
Is that how? Okay. Yes,
that's exactly what it was. And I've always wanted to be involved in activism in some way, shape, or form. But yeah. It's like when you're pursuing comedy, you can't. It's like so hard to have different things.
To do anything else,
to do anything
really.
Else.
I mean, to even have a relationship or a pet. Like it's
anything else.
I think people don't really get it. Yeah. And you're not making money in the meantime.
Yeah, the beginning stages
are not making money.
Can be soul sucking. You're broke. Yeah. It's a long. It's a
I don't
hurdle.
Know what it's not going to be soul sucking, but
it might not ever not be. Ever I don't happen, know.
There's always a part for me of, I mean, anywhere in the entertainment business that has been soul sucking, but you just hope that the other stuff outweighs the soul sucking.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so when she posed it like that, I was like, wow, this is a way that I could do both. I could do comedy and activism. So
it's perfect. Yeah.
It just lit my heart up. And
what year was that?
2013.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And have you ever done escorting where you you walk? This sounds like sex work, but
I know. I was going to say.
It is a form of sex work, but also escorting, clinic escort, which is where you walk women from their cars to the entrance of a women's health clinic or
walk
sexual
them past the protesters.
And have you any instances where you were being a clinic escort that stuck out where either the protester said something that made you want to punch him in the face? Because that's why I've always been worried about volunteering for that, because I'm like, I'm going to lose my shit, make it about me and punch the guy in the fucking face.
I'm really good with the protesters.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what are some tips that they gave you to train you to do that?
Yeah.
One of the things is like you try to stay focused on the girl and talking to her, just making her feel comfortable, letting her know what you've been through. I've had my own abortion, so it's like you can talk to them. But another thing that I do is I engage the protesters so much that they are not even paying attention to the girls going in.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
I've had that experience.
Distraction.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're so caught up in me that they're forgetting that. Because
you're telling, what do you do to do that?
I mean, I just talk to them. I just ask them questions.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because I love getting to the bottom of their psyche.
I am so fascinated by a clinic protester.
Yeah.
I am fucking, it blows my mind.
They're fascinating.
Especially the male ones.
Yeah.
They're
mostly men.
Right? I was going to say, I've only, we interviewed a photographer, Wendy Kent, who took photos of protesters outside of abortion clinics. And I saw that. And I'm like, what the fuck? Because that would make me even more mad.
Oh, yeah. It's infuriating. If you look at it from that perspective, it's face value infuriating. But talking to them. So the thing that when I talk to them, I just like to get to the bottom of what they're doing, because I'm coming from my perspective of abortion is fine with me and I've had one. So I want you to tell me to my face, I'm a bad person and I'm going to hell, and back this up with facts and information that goes beyond your, schooling from religion as a child. And I've had great conversations with these guys. Like,
really?
I had a guy in Atlanta, because we did a 16-city tour last year.
Yeah.
That was 2 months, amazing, through all the red
being
states.
Being clinic escorts?
We were clinic escorting, and we were doing shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was so fantastic. And the first city was Atlanta. And we were going into the clinic in Atlanta, and there were just two guys outside. One of them had a Duck Dynasty beard.
Two guys.
Beard.
Oh, fucking,
yeah,
of course.
They were the ones. They were like the stragglers. Because usually once all the women are in, most of the protesters leave.
Do the women come in the clinic at one time? Is it like a set time? Or
usually in the morning, they're all coming in, and then they trickle out as the day goes on. So these are the evil men who want to wait to yell at them when they're on their way out.
Oh. Who don't even know what they're going into the clinic for.
They could be
getting birth control or pap smear. Or care for their child that they would like to have.
Yes, exactly.
Like, okay.
And so when you're escorting people, are you only escorting women who are getting abortions, or can you escort anyone who's getting any service?
Well, the thing is, our focus with Lady Parts Justice are the clinics that are just abortion.
They're just doing abortions at the clinics.
Okay. I didn't know.
Those are the ones that are under the most fire outside of Planned Parenthood, because these are just the independent clinics.
Right. Okay.
They do other services.
I didn't know their work. Oh, okay.
But mostly they're predominant service is abortion.
Oh, and so they're the ones who are most likely the customer, the client or people they see are going in there for that.
Yes. Okay, it'll be set, I think 70% usually of their service is abortion versus Planned Parenthood's 3%.
Okay.
So
you got that dynasty guy.
Yes. And he's just out there. And I just, you
Did
know,
have a sign?
Asking him questions. Yeah. His sign brought whatever said.
Women are whores. Yeah. I mean, don't get an abortion.
Yeah. Yeah. and we're just talking back and forth. I found out he had five kids. He had five kids and the dude next to him had seven kids. Hmm. And I was just like, are you kidding? I was like, you really want more children in the world? And what I just, there was an epiphany moment that I'm trying to remember right now that we had.
Was he angry when he was talking to you or was he calm?
No, he was calm.
That's good.
He was calm. And he just started to like me as a person. I'm a very likable person.
You are, I'm a lovable, you're honest. You're a perfect clinic
I'm
escort.
A lovable human.
Do you have a temper? I do.
If I'm being disrespected, consistently,
then you'll go off.
Yeah. But I'm passive aggressive.
Okay.
Like I was just beefing with my roommate and I was taking the Amazon Fire Stick remote when I left the house. I'm petty.
That's good though. Sometimes you gotta be petty.
It was so good. It was so good.
That's so
funny. She was so mad because she was on the Handmaid's Tale finale.
Oh my God. That's so fucking funny.
That's really funny.
I was like, bitch, fuck with me. So that's the thing. Like, I don't have a temper actually at all.
Right.
But push me and I'm going to
do something fucked up.
Fuck with you.
I'm going to ruin your business.
I'm not
going to
bite you, but I'm going to ruin.
Be petty.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I'm way pettier than angry.
I wish. Yeah.
I don't recall. It's going to come to me. I don't recall right now what the epiphany was with that guy, but
did you get your number? No, I'm just kidding.
It wasn't like that.
Have you ever had a guy or a woman, a protester outside of a clinic say something that really got under your skin or that?
Well, they try. Whenever they see a black person, they yell black things.
Like, oh my God.
For example, one of the things that were yelled at me is, Martin Luther King Jr. didn't die so you could murder babies. And I'm like,
I was like, what do you mean by black things? Oh, like try to inspire you. I see.
And I'm like, oh my God.
You are exactly correct. Martin Luther King did not die.
No, he got killed by white people.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Damn, like, he had nothing to do with that.
It actually had nothing to do with it. You are correct. Oh. So we're just saying. Saying things.
That's fucking hilarious.
Like, and it's like, I guess for a younger black girl, and that's the part that makes me angry. It's like, there might be a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
We've had stories from these clinics where, like, it's an 11-year-old that's raped by her foster father.
Oh my God.
Things like that.
Wait. And then you have to walk her, and then she, on top of all the horrible things that have happened in her life, she's going to get
them. And so that's the part the temper, that's under.
If there was even anybody
here.
Standing outside with a sign, I would go up to them and punch them in the fucking head.
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
I was told.
That's probably not helpful.
They
for the
told us.
Nope. Right. Especially for that poor girl.
Everyone's getting arrested. they said this poor baby, she's brought in by her foster parents and she's talking to the other girls in the recovery room. Because they didn't know she was raped.
Did she know
she was
raped?
So the parents just brought her in and kind of like, oh, that she was out on the streets. They made up a story.
Right.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So the girls in the room from talking to her ended up finding out that she got raped because she's like, my daddy said that if I come here and I don't tell anybody, I can get ice cream after.
Fuck.
Yeah, those are the type of stories we were hearing on the road. And
shit,
and that's why I'm like, I will fight anyone who wants to say that we can't make this choice for ourselves and for our bodies.
It is the ultimate
choice that a man will never have to make.
That's such a big part of it. And I know I've tried to wrap my head around people who are anti-choice for a very long time. And we've had people email us, men and women, just kind of because I'm like, please explain where you're coming from. Because you're obviously coming from somewhere and you're passionate about where you're coming from. So I would like to know, where
That's
is that?
Why
what
I
are
try
the
to
roots?
Talk to them. Yes.
And it's a lot of the times it's religion and the baby murder.
The baby's a murderer.
The language. Yeah. And then honestly, Lady Parts Justice, we interviewed Liz Winstead, and she was telling us about how the language that's being used and how it can be so manipulative and misleading of, yeah, well, we're pro-life. Well, that sounds fucking great. But no, you are anti-choice. You're anti-choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And a lot of them are just, they just don't know. And so when I go to these places, I like to talk to the young people, because at least sometimes a young person might be able to change
more valuable brain,
their point of view. And I was talking to this young guy, I forget which city.
Outside of a clinic?
We were actually at Politicon, which is like political nerds go to this thing in LA. Okay. So you get
left. Like, it's an abortion convention.
It's an abortion convention. No, that's a different thing. I've been to that too, but.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There's an abortion convention?
It's called ACN. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go. The abortion. Yeah. It's awesome. So I was talking to this young guy, and he was just trying to get to the bottom of it. Like, he was very contemplative, and he was like, I'm against abortion. I want to talk to you about it. I was like, sure, let's talk about it.
That's great.
And, he was basically saying, I was like, so, you know, if a woman is raped or incest or what have you, do you think that she should be able to have an abortion? He's like, I guess I could consider it. And I was like,
oh, how big of
you? I was like, do you? Yes. I was like, do you understand what you just said? Like the concept of the fact that you feel like you are judging the decision a woman's making. I was like, what if a girl was just in college and she just had sex with her boyfriend, accidentally got pregnant? I was like, do you think she should be able to have an abortion? He's like, probably not. And I was like, well, that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't expecting to have that moment in my face. Yeah. I was like, tell me right now that I shouldn't have made that decision. And I could just tell something clicked in his head. Because
you humanized the problem for him.
Exactly.
You're looking into the eyes of a woman who has had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like they never think of it that way because they don't have to. So that's my goal, is whenever I'm talking to them, I just try to give them a perspective that they didn't think about, because they're just so murder, 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 murder. I'm like, all right, chill out.
Yeah, that would have changed the whole course of your life had you had that child. Like, you probably wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Totally not.
Thank you on behalf of every person for doing that, sir.
Every woman who ever has. We don't need more people.
We really don't. I just looked up the death rate and the birth rate by day. It's a lot more people being born than dying.
For sure.
So,
and as twice way as more many
as technology and medicine and stuff improves, people are living longer, and so there really is this like overload of humans. I was gonna say that we're the United States is out of all the developed nations, aren't we last in the mother giving birth, their death rate?
Oh, I know. I know it's low. Okay. I know it's not.
Or we're
good.
Very low. Yeah,
it's not good. Okay. Our
Because I feel women, like that part of it is contributed to the attitude this country fucking has about women making their own decisions and shit, and just like taking care of women, it seems.
Well, we just hate women.
Yeah. It's true. Can you talk a little bit about your own? I've heard you talk about your abortion before, more so like comedically in your stand-up set, which I love. But it's interesting to me now getting to learn more about you, because I didn't know that you were considered yourself to be prudish. And so I think that's very interesting and kind of like cuts the stigma, or not even the stigma, like this preconceived notion that people have about like, oh, if you're getting an abortion, you must have been just out here fucking everyone fast times at Ridgemont High. And so you were just having sex with your boyfriend who you just told us about, the good one.
it was my boyfriend in college. I had had a death, a very close death in the family to me. So I was reckless. I was just in one of those modes of like, I don't care about anything.
Life could be taken away from you at any moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And we were on the way to the funeral, actually. Sorry to make it sad, guys. We're all the way to the funeral.
I'm so horny. Stop.
We were on an Amtrak train, and I was like, let's go fuck in the bathroom. And we fucked on the floor of a handicapped stall.
See, that's the grossest part. The Amtrak. I remember there was something that I found horrific, and it was definitely not the abortion part. And it was the fact that, conceived
the bathroom on an Amtrak train on the way to a funeral.
On the way to a funeral, girl.
That's comedy gold.
That's so.
He was on the floor.
Was there? Okay. Good. I was like, there's always urine on the floor.
He was on the floor.
Okay. Oh,
he really wanted some puss.
Yes, he did. And you know they'll stop at nothing.
Yeah, they'll do anything.
And how do you know 100% that that was conception right there?
I felt it.
Really?
I've heard this. My very close friend has had one, and she knew. She knew it was crazy.
I knew.
What? Yo. Like, what was the feeling?
What the fuck?
Magic?
Miracles are real.
I mean, and it's odd enough to, because, you know, as they say, life begins at conception. Don't tell any of them this, guys. But it was like the second he came.
No way.
It was like, and I was like, it was just like a.
That wasn't no ordinary load.
Yes. I had that thought. I was like, uh-oh. I remember immediately.
Had you had sex without a condom before?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
But you're on the pill other times? Or like what?
I struggle with the pill because I'm not good at doing anything consistently.
Okay. I was like, me too. Maybe mentally. Okay. Yeah.
No. Also yeast, but whatever. I'm not good at consistent. Cause so I had tried birth control. Mm-hmm. Condoms, all that stuff. And my mother's a L&D nurse, so right. She's not a fan of like IUDs or or the shot or anything like that. Uh-huh. So we tried birth control, but I just couldn't take with it. And mm-hmm. I was once again just being reckless. And
So were we using like pull out method or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And this time he didn't pull out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did he ever not pull out without a condom? Yeah, right. That should be their slogan.
I don't remember. Went on Amtrak. I don't remember.
Okay. So you felt it. Is so fucking now. Really did you tell him after you guys got up and went back to your seats from the bathroom? Were you like,
I don't think so. I think I just kept as we do as women.
Because you doubt you're like,
yeah.
Nah.
It's like, nah. Also, no, you don't want to like ruminate on that. You're probably pregnant. No.
Well, so you didn't have like funeral. Fear in your heart immediately? Because I would have had fear in my heart immediately.
I did. Yeah. Okay. For sure. I was worried.
And then when did you just took a pregnancy test? You pee on a stick and that's
maybe
when you
like. 2 months later.
2 months?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I was like, ugh.
Were you just avoiding because you knew?
For
you
sure.
Knew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could already feel my body
you
changing.
You peed on the.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what was your first thoughts in your head? What were the first thoughts? Fuck.
Once again, I mean, because my life was in shambles at that time because 9/11 happened that year.
Uh-huh.
So it was like 9/11.
And then your 9/11.
Died. Yeah. Then my cousin died. Found out. His grandmother, who was my aunt, had cancer. And she was going to die.
Oh, my God.
And then I was pregnant. So all of that happened all at the same time. And I'm in college. I'm a junior in college. Oh, so yeah. I'm trying to pass classes.
Yeah.
And it was honestly, I didn't even really care. Because my mother, the way my mother met my biological father, he was an abortion doctor.
Oh.
So she was his nurse. So I.
Oh, wow. You come from a family of female reproductive rights.
Just badasses. Like, yes.
Nice.
So I knew it was not going to be a problem when I told my mother.
Right.
Because I told her and she literally was like, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Either way. Because she even said, you could have the baby. Because I was due in the summer. She was like, you could have the baby. Go back. Finish your senior year. I'll take care of it.
Oh.
And then we can.
Wow.
I know. And that just.
Oh.
That makes me.
Oh, man.
Even cry to think about it. My mother's the sweetest human on the planet. But that's I was like, amazing. I can't do that to you.
Yeah.
So.
And so was your boyfriend there with you at the time when you found out? Yep. I'm pregnant.
Was he there? Probably. Yeah. I was probably at school when I found out, but he wasn't there for the abortion.
Why not?
Because we got into an argument that day.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yes. I was alone. And my mother was out of town.
Oh, and did you get the procedure, not the pills, but the respirator?
Well, luckily I went to a family friend doctor.
Okay.
So he put me to sleep.
Oh.
So yes. I say I have a fancy rich lady abortion.
Wow. Fancy rich lady. How long were you asleep for?
I don't know. Probably like
not much. And then
15 to 20
did someone
minutes.
Pick you up? Because doesn't somebody have to pick you up after
yeah,
that?
My cousin dropped me off and picked me up.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's good. Oh my God. You got into a fight. Was a fight about that?
The fight was pretty much him being scared to come to New Jersey because he lived in Boston.
Okay.
He was scared to come to New Jersey because he's scared his mother would find out. And I was like, you pussy. I was like, you balls, you set of weak ass balls. The fact that you don't have to tell your mother.
And you don't have to get the abortion.
You don't have to get the abortion. Yeah, it was that fight. And
making it about him.
Yeah, we totally made it about him. And then he was like, I mean, I'm scared. Because he would come to my house all the time during breaks. So it's like, your mother's not going to think if you'd be like, I'm going to go to Jersey.
Wait, did he live with his mom? Why was he telling his mom his whereabouts at all times when he's in college?
Yeah, we're in college. Yeah, so you know, when you go home for break.
Oh,
but his parents in Jersey too?
I do shit all the time.
No, his parents were in Boston. His mother was in Boston.
Oh, I see.
And so like he had to report back like why he wasn't going to be home in Boston during break. And that's what the fight was about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was like, I can't, I'm scared to tell her all that stuff. And I was like,
did you break up after that?
Eventually, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Damn. But not like how soon after or?
From then, it was the slow decline.
Downhill. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, you're dealing, I'm crazy. People in my family are dying left and right. Yeah. So I'm also at my wit's end. Yeah. So I wasn't a fun person at that time.
Did you have emotional repercussions from the abortion?
I don't. I just feel like it was just a shit pile that year.
So, yeah. it's all mixed in with everything.
What else could we pile on to this pile of shit? Was what it was.
Damn.
So I'm sure if we dig deep. And that's why you don't like to watch black women have sex. No, I don't know.
Great callback, Joya.
I don't know. No, I just, I'm sure there's some emotional repercussions, but society mostly does that to us.
Yes. I agree. I fucking agree. I love the way you brought that back. I kind of like.
Yeah, I was like, I think that's like really the perfect ending.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about or promote? What do you want to promote?
Promote. Oh, I'll be on.
Where are you gonna be?
Tomorrow. Well, what is this here?
In a week from this coming Friday.
Okay.
So
well,
week and a half.
Go on True TV. There's a show called Laugh Tracks. I am a part of that.
Nice.
That's so cool.
That's airing. Well, you guys, it'll have aired already by the time you guys hear this. So just look it up. It's the show's called Laugh Tracks. So that's coming out. And Bust Magazine this month, this is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
45th anniversary. And so that issue is out. And I also, you know, I've been doing a lot of interviews about Roe's anniversary. So.
Yeah. Yes. You have a great photo. Not that that's what it's about, but it didn't hurt.
I love that picture.
And where can we find you online? It comes to your stand up.
JoelleNicole.com. That's my website. And at JoelleNicole's everything. So Instagram, okay. Twitter, all that stuff.
Perfect.
And oh my God. So they put a promo for the True TV thing, and I've got like 1,500 followers in a day. I was like,
yo,
crazy.
That's so great to hear. Yeah, dude, I love TV's that show. I watch it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming and sitting down with us.
And for all the work you do.
Yes.
We're forever grateful for all the hard work you put in.
Your home is
for production.
Family.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. Tell them all we said thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Think about it. Whoa, don't talk about it if you ain't about it. Whoa, around it and call me Kemosabe. Whoa, you probably think I won't forget about you. No, you better ask somebody. Oh. Can't do it, I'ma do whatever I want, huh? Fucking up all of these genres. Karma's coming, I got karma. Jay called me with some offers. Keep them coming, we got options. My nigga's Jewish and that's awesome. Did a price check on a diamond ring for my fiance. She just wanna dance like Beyonce. I just wanna graduate like Kanye. I just need a piece like Gandhi. Need to make a call up to Guinness, I've been at it breaking records, I've been working on the message. Whoa, why you acting like you know me? I'm just trying to stay focused. I got way too much shit going on to worry about your shit. I had trying to stay golden. 2 a.m. and you calling me out again. Think about it. Whoa, don't talk about it if you ain't about it. Whoa, round here they call me Kemosabe. Whoa, you probably think I won't forget about you. No, you better ask somebody.
When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bras in sizes AA through G, and that is Third Love. Find your perfect fitting bra today. Go to thirdlove.com/GWF and get 15% off your first purchase. That is thirdlove.com/GWF. Again, and I repeat, thirdlove.com/GWF.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.